don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome back to the Rant and Rave podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. Thank you to everyone who came out to support our annual fundraising gala and silent auction over the weekend. My husband had a bid on a red Devo hat, but sadly ended up being outbid. I'm curious to hear, however, who got the walk-on role in The Bold and the Beautiful. Opening this month at Rogue Machine is the Los Angeles premiere of the satire Honky. For info and showtimes and tickets, please visit roguemachinetheater.com. This month, we present stories on propaganda. I remember when I was applying to university several years back, how inundated I was with glossy brochures and booklets trumpeting the athletic programs, the facilities, and the cutting-edge research at each institution. Our first writer tells about how she was wooed by the image of a prep school when she was young. Here's our host, Ron Batita, to introduce her.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. Jaquita Tale is an LA-based actor and screenwriter who has appeared on television and in shows like Castle, Shameless, Criminal Minds, and ER. She recently wrote and produced a short political horror film, Valentina, that premiered at the Fort Myers Film Festival earlier this month. This is her first time at Rant and Rave, so give it up for Jaquita Tale.
I am 11 years old in the sixth grade, and I go to a tiny private school in the heart of South Los Angeles. Fun fact, I've never liked the coded term South Central because it connotes a lot of stereotypes. Gang violence, drugs, broken homes, you know the rest. Sure, there's an element of truth in the aforementioned, but Boys in the Hood and Friday don't necessarily speak to everyone's life, you dig? Most of my friends live in South LA, come from two-parent homes with folks that work hard to pay for tuition and field trips, even abroad to Egypt. I never got to go to Egypt. I'm still slightly salty about that. I don't actually live in South LA. My family's just moved from Altadena to Mount Washington, which back in 1995, most folks couldn't locate on a map. There were no hipsters breaking ground on new old neighborhoods back then. My school is all black, very Pan-African, and founded by my dad's former college professor. Every morning, we begin the day with 20 minutes of pledges and songs, lift every voice and sing, the Black National Anthem, the Black Pledge of Allegiance, bet you didn't even know that there was one, there is, and an ode to our ancestors. Ode to my ancestors, black ancestors, darker than the skies at midnight. It was wonderfully poetic. My absolute favorite is a poem called Hey Black Child. I describe it with a word I hate because I'm a black woman, sassy. Sassy is another one of those coded words used to signify acting black. Please don't ever describe a black woman as sassy, even if she really is the textbook definition of that word. But Hey Black Child was pretty sassy, at least judging from our childhood renditions. Hey, black child, do you know who you are, who you really are? Do you know you can be what you want to be if you try to be what you can be? Hey, black child, do you know where you're going, where you're really going? Do you know you can learn what you try to learn, what you can learn, if you can learn? And so on. Could be a Drake song, right? Catchy. The transatlantic slave trade, post-Reconstruction South, the civil rights and black power movement, that's the type of American history we're taught up until fifth grade when we finally start learning about all the rest of it. This is not to say that my world is exclusively black and sheltered, hardly. I'm a child actor, which is an entirely different story altogether. And my folks have a diverse group of friends, so I'm in the world. But at school, it's all about black history, excellence, and pride. Spike Lee, Arrested Development, Tupac. No, really, they've all visited our school at some point. Tupac, yo. It's because of this place that I'm reluctant to see Pocahontas with my younger cousin later that summer. I want to see Clueless, but its PG-13 rating made my mom say, as if. After seeing Pocahontas, I tell my friends it was propaganda bullshit. At least this is what they say I told them. I can't recall whether I actually did, but the sentiment still rings true, and I'd like to imagine I am this clever. I've decided, after 10 years at this school, that my sixth grade year will be my last. I'm ready for someplace new. I have options, stay until ninth grade and then transfer to another high school. I could try public school, maybe, and there's this other private school that my grandmother, a very persuasive woman, has apparently had her eye on since I was born. She also wanted me to be named Megan, so there's that. In some alternative world, my name's Megan and I have long straight hair and a 9-to-5. Grandma gives me a brochure for this all-girls prep and their pitch is A1, infectious school spirit and a pool. The campus is huge, strikingly different from my tiny elementary school's parking lot playground. School dances. I've never been to a dance before. Extracurricular activities. You can pick your own classes just like college. The uniforms are very cute and preppy. I'm especially pleased to note that they're inclusive and non-discriminatory. Ethnic and socioeconomic diversity, yes! There is an official moral code where students pledge not to cheat, steal, or tarnish the school's name in any way. The overall message impressed upon me: this is a safe space for young women to reach their academic goals without the added pressure of competition or distraction, aka boys. Studies confirm that women who've experienced a single-sex education outperform those who come from a co-ed experience. As an added bonus, I'm even told that the girls I'll meet in the seventh grade will eventually be in my wedding one day. BFFs for life! It's a different world than where I come from. It's hella fancy. If we're being honest, it's really bougie. And I am all in. After an intensive application process, I'm accepted. And for the next 6 years, this school is everything that I've been sold, told. But there's still plenty that I'm not prepared for. A fellow classmate sees a picture of my elementary school friends in my locker and asks if I'm in a gang. Multiple teachers confuse me for another black student who is about 6 inches taller and looks nothing like me. Other black girls overhear white students using the N-word in a bathroom. During an assembly, an actor puts on blackface and starts speaking in a curious accent. She's supposed to be Bessie Coleman, the first black female pilot. All of the black students exchange bewildered glances. What the hell? But this is still a safe space for young women, supportive and without the distraction of boys. There are men around, plenty of them. Teachers, most upstanding and teacherly. A few that strike me and other girls as a bit sketch, maybe more than a bit. There are rumors, but nothing substantiated. By senior year, I'm just ready to get out of there and into college. Armed with a list of prospective schools, SAT scores, and a rough draft of my college essay, all I need now is recommendations. Drama teacher rec, check. College counselor, check. But I really need an academic recommendation. I'm strongest in English, so I ask Dr. Joseph, my teacher, to write mine. I don't like him. I'm strong-willed, and he is a newish teacher, determined to maintain authority. Nevertheless, he agrees, perhaps a bit reluctantly. I don't think he likes me either. Fast forward to 2014, I'm reading an article online about a young woman who was preyed upon by her English teacher. When I get to the accompanying photo, I recognize the school instantly. I'm not the only one. Alums speculate between ourselves. The culprit remains anonymous, but the story spreads like wildfire. It's picked up by national media. The fallout results in the resignation of our head of school. More women step forward with similar stories. I'm almost positive I know one of them, even though her identity is also being kept anonymous. My school is small enough that you knew almost everyone by face, if not by name, and we were both there in the late 90s, early 2000s. This woman is suing the school, alleging that they're partly responsible for what happened to her. Well, finally, it's revealed, the whodunit. And you, it's my former English teacher, Dr. Joseph. I never felt like he was coming on to me, but still, so much for safe and nurturing environment. Very recently, reports have come out that lawyers from my high school are arguing that the former student who is suing acted recklessly, and they're not responsible for the statutory rape, which is so gross and disappointing, not to mention incredibly hypocritical. The outrage following was swift, with alumni threatening to boycott and withhold donations. There was an apology letter from the school to alumni, complete with a disavowal of their now former representation. I wish that I could say that I'm surprised by any of it, but I'm not. At this point, very little has lived up to my expectation. I'm getting married in 3 months, and none of the girls from my seventh grade class are going to be my bridesmaids. I'm not having bridesmaids, but I will still be attending my 15-year reunion this weekend. I paid for it before all the recent news came out, but mostly I'm curious to see how all of this will be addressed. There's a part of me that feels guilty for telling this story, for feeling cynical and disenchanted and airing out our dirty laundry. The me that still knows both school songs by heart and sometimes even thinks back nostalgically. Where's all that school pride I was indoctrinated with? In spite of everything, I do have some fond memories. In spite of everything, there's still a part of me that still wants to believe in the dream I was sold. Thank you.
That was Jaquita Tele on Propaganda. Tune in next week when we hear from a writer who made me think twice about the assumptions we make about other races and cultural groups. Click your way to RogueMachineTheater.com to find info on our award-winning stage shows, as well as get tickets to our next Rant and Rave live event. If you like the show, consider sharing it with a friend. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes by searching Rogue Machine Theater and have a new story delivered to you every week. Thanks so much for listening. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Our guest co-producer this month is David Jetty. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Nadestrom. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.